Today we're on Kuf Lamed Dalet, Shabbos 1:34. I'll go back to the Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Gimel. Let me just repeat the Mishnah. This is on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Gimel, 1:33a at the bottom, a few lines from the bottom on Kuf Lamed Gimel and Aleph. So, Manitin Osin Kol Tzarchi Mila B'Shabbat, one could do all the necessities for Mila and Shabbos. The Mishnah is going to expel what they are, but the Gemara ends up learning that all the necessities are even going back for Tzitzin, like there are different little appendages, so if a person is still Osik in the Mila, he can go back for it. Molin, Uporin, and Motzin. So those are the three elements. Molin is when you cut off the orla. Then Priya is a membrane that's underneath the orla. It's like, one mole said to me, it's like the inside of your mouth. Like if you put your tongue over, you know, the inside of your cheek, you know, you feel like this sort of slimy, loose thing. So that's there. That's scraped off. Umotzin. Then he sucks out the blood. V'no nimale is pilanit v'kamon, and a person then puts a bandage, and kamon is cumin that was taken as a medication that was placed on the mila. Now this is all we're doing. This is all on Shabbos. We're doing this all on Shabbos. He says im lo shakach me'erev Shabbat. Now if a person didn't grind up the kamon on Friday, and grinding it up lechora is a they said a told of tochein. He says lois b'shina v'notein. So then he chews it with his teeth. And he puts it on. In other words, if you could do a shinui, you would rather do a shinui. That's always better. He says, "In lo taraf yain v'shemen me'erev Shabbat." If he hadn't mixed wine and oil on erev Shabbos, wine and oil was an application that was applied to the wound, and mixing it looks like you're preparing for cooking. So you want to mix it on Friday. You know, tin zeba atzmo v'zeba atzmo. So you put each one into the bowl. Like you won't mix it vigorously. It'll hopefully get vermished. Now, chaluk is like a garment, but it means they had a bandage that would go around the aver. It looks like a sleeve, you know, like a round cylinder. So I can't make that lechachilan Shabbos about korechla smartut, but I could like just wrap a rag around it. He says in lohitkin me'erev Shabbat. If I didn't prepare anything on Friday, and now I have this child here, I need to put something on his wound. So kurechal etzba'o, so I can wrap something around my finger. In other words, it's in location A. I want to get it to location B. So kurechal etzba'o umevi, and then I bring it. In other words, it'll be like a type of malbush. I'll be wearing it on my finger. It's not great with the malbush, but it's something. I'll wear it on my finger, and then filu mechatzer acher. I'll even bring it from another chatzer. Okay, give me 1 second with this. So this isn't really considered, in other words, only giving this heter because of the mila. In other words, normally wouldn't say that's what you could do, but we have this special heter here. Okay, so I just went over the Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, 133a. I went over the Mishnah 4 lines from the bottom, and then we're going to go to today's daf, 134. Okay, what's up, Fern? What do you got?
It really goes back to the theme of last week. I think from all the the language you do here, that if you can prepare for it, it's better. It's a
right,
little
right,
bit together.
Right.
My question now becomes, I know that you're supposed to do Brit Milah as early as you can on Shabbos, during the week, right?
Right.
Reason
right.
And all that.
Right.
If you can wait till later in that day and not have to do as much of the stuff which would ordinarily be Mechal al Shabbos. In other words, if there would be another bris and someone would have the stuff and you wouldn't have to do Tochein and you wouldn't have to do this, do you wait or is it more important to do it early?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a weighing. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know. All right. Now let me go to Kuf Lamed Dalet. I'm an Aleph. Kuf Lamed Dalet, 134. Okay, so 134a. The 2 lines from the top. Okay. So, and welcome, Mara Moshe and Robert. Nice to see you as well. Okay. So it says, Lo Shachach Me'erev Shabbat. We said that there was kamon, it's cumin, was the type of medication or, you know, placed on the aver after the bris milah. So a person should grind it before Shabbos because grinding is normally a malacha. But if he didn't grind it on Friday, he could chew it. And then he's doing it with a shinui, and then that's it. Lo shachach me'erev Shabbat. Tan Rabbanan, Dvarim shein osin l'mila b'Shabbat osin la b'yom tov. So the Braisa says, things that I can't do for Milan Shabbos, I do have a heter to do them on Yantiv. He says, shochin la kamon, On Yontiv, I could grind the kamon. He says, v'torf en la yayin v'shemen, and I could vigorously mix the wine and the oil. So again, we'll see in a minute in the Gemara. In other words, things that are tzorech ochel nefesh, I'm allowed to do on Yontiv. And these things that we just mentioned are going to be tzorech ochel nefesh. So if it's permitted for me, you know, me to hutra the tzorech ochel nefesh, it's hutra nami shlo the tzorech ochel nefesh. So if I have a green light for food preparation, I can use it in another venue, even though it's not food preparation. So the Gemara will explain. So Amalei by the Rabbi Yosef, Maishnab Kamon Biyom Tov, the Chazi Lekdeira. Why is it that Kamon, you're allowed to grind up on Yontiv? Because you could put it in a pot. And on Yontiv, you know, you're allowed to do Tzorech Ochel Nefesh. So since I could prepare the kamon for the pot, I could prepare it also for the mila. That's the braisa. So he says, Yayin v'shemen chazi nami v'shabat l'chola. Now the yayin v'shemen, so that would, like, the problem with mixing the wine and the oil vigorously, because it looked like I'm preparing for cooking, but I'm allowed to cook on Yontiv. But he wants to say that yayin v'shemen, also mixing vigorously the wine and the oil, has illicit use on Shabbos. He says, l'chola, if a person is a chola she'ein bo sakana, I'm allowed, he's going to prove that I compare the yayin v'shemen. Tani, we learn in the braisa, in torfin yayin v'shemen l'chola b'shabbat. The first opinion says, I can't vigorously mix wine and oil for a chola on Shabbos. Again, the wine and the oil is going to be a topical, you know, medication. That so he says, but the key is the next line. Amar Shimon Elazar, Mishur Meir, Av Torfin Yayin V'Shemen. So according to the opinion of the Rebbe Meir, on Shabbat, a person could vigorously mix the wine and the oil, because it's even though it's like a type of refuah, but it's a Chol HaShem Bo Sakana. So we're allowed to do this for the Chol HaShem Bo Sakana. It means, again, the only problem was that it looked like you're cooking, but for a Kol Shem Osakana, they were making. They said you could do this. So he says, Amr B'Shem Elazar, Pamachat, Chash Remeir B'Meyav. Once Remeir was sick, intestinal disorder, Ubikashtu L'Trofalo Yayin V'Shemen, and we wanted to mix wine and oil for him. Again, I assume the wine and oil is being applied topically the way it was by Bris Mila. I don't know. He says here, he didn't let us prepare it. So even though Rav Meir himself says you're allowed to prepare this wine and oil for a chola on Shabbat, and he was chola, and they wanted to prepare for him, he didn't allow them. He said, so amarnu lo, so we said to him, divarecha yibatlu b'chayecha, are your words going to be nullified in your lifetime? In other words, like, you're still alive, you said you could, and now we're trying to apply your ruling, and you don't let us do it. So Amar Lanu, he said to us, Af Pishan Yomir Kach, even though I say, I say you could do this, B'chavarai Omrim Kach, and my colleagues say, no, you can't do it. He says, Mi Amai Lomal Ani Libi Lav World Debrin Chavarai. I never had the temerity to transgress what my colleague says. So my colleagues say no, I say yes, but I'm going to adhere to what my colleagues say. That's what he's saying here. So he says, so the Gemara says, who knew the Machmir Anafshe? So he, meaning he, Remeir, was personally Machmir for himself. Abalakuli al-Mashari, but he was Matir for everybody else. So the key is that we have an opinion, i.e. Remeir, who says that one could, for Chol HaShem Bo Sakana, one is permitted on Shabbat to vigorously mix the wine and the oil. And so if one can prepare it for Chol HaShem Bo Sakana, why cannot one prepare it for the child who has the bris? So the Gemara says, Hatam l'bay licha. So the Gemara says, over there, it doesn't require it to be vigorously mixed. In other words, when he gave the heter, he was saying, you just pour it into a bowl and not, like, vigorously mix it. When you vigorously mix it, it looks like you're preparing it for cooking. That was the whole problem. He says, Hacha b'ay licha. Here, by the child with the bris milah, it does need to be vigorously mixed. So the Gemara says, Hakinami na'aved v'lolilach. So why don't we do that here also? We'll put it in and we won't vigorously mix it. So hainu dekatani no thing zeb ifni asma zeb ifni asma. That's what the Mishnah was saying. So in other words, our question was, the Mishnah says that if a person didn't prepare this mixture of wine and oil, so on Shabbat, the only thing he should do is just add each one to a bowl and not mix it and leave it as it is. So that's exactly, so that all Remeir was saying is that, in other words, even the Tan Remeir, who has this lenient opinion, doesn't say you should vigorously mix it. He just says, you know, put one item in the bowl, the other item in the bowl, and then that's it. And that's what he permits for a chola, and that's what the Mishnah permits for a child who's having a bris. All right, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did?
Yeah, does Remeir In other areas, we say Stam Mishnah Kerev Meir. Whenever he's fighting, having machlokes with the Chachamim, and he's Mekel, did he always, whatever the other side say, did he go along with them?
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know. All right.
Was it traditional back then to have a seudat mitzvah with a bris? Because hypothetically, you could say they were preparing food for the seudah.
Yeah. So the concern here is that like looks like you're preparing something to be cooked. Not that you're having the seudah, that you're preparing something to be cooked. I don't know what their cooking was like, but apparently the mixing wine and oil vigorously would be something like you would cook. So that was the problem. Not that so much that they're going to eat it, but that they'll like go and cook an item. And it was looks like you're going to cook something. So that's prohibited on a rabbinic level. That was what the kashash is. And presumably they would have a suda after the bris. Okay. All right. Let's move on. All right. Now let's take a look. So we're at the.
But I assume you can't be Michal Shabbos for that suda.
No. Absolutely not. No.
Right. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah. Clearly. Okay. All right. Now. Okay, now we're on Kuflam Dalin Wan Aleph around the seventh very wide line. So now we're going to segue, we're shifting gears. Now we're just going to talk nothing. We're leaving Bris Milah on the side, and now we're talking about Dina Yantiv, just Dina Yantiv. So, and it connects because it's a similar give and take in the Gemaras. So, Tan Rabbanan in Misanin Echardal, but Misanin Echalo, on Yantiv, one is not allowed to. Filter to strain mustard. So like you have the mustard seeds, it has a husk, it has a seed. So I can't strain it on yantiv, that's melechet borer. Ve'imimatkino tobikachelet, I can't sweeten it with a coal. Apparently they would put bury a hot coal in the mustard seeds and then the coal would eventually burn out, but that would somehow make the mustard seeds taste better. So you can't do those things on yantiv. You can't do it on yantiv because the straining is borer, and you can't do it with the coal because you'll be mechabe. Mechabe is a malacha. So those are two malachos that neither one is permitted on yantiv. So Amalei by the Rav Yosef, my shenami hadadnan, he says, why is this different than that which the Mishnah, which we learn later on, our Masech that we'll have a little bit 5 days from now, Kuf Lamed Tet. So it's really 5 days from Shabbos. So this week we'll have this Mishnah. Mehadetnan, notnim beitza b'mesanen shel chardal. So the Mishnah says that I can put an egg. In other words, I've already strained the mustard seeds, and I have the mustard seeds at the bottom, and now I want to put an egg in it, and because I want like the yolk of the egg somehow makes it look better. Or I don't know the color. I don't know. So he says here, notnim beitza b'mesanen shel chardal, that one is permitted on Shabbat to put an egg in a strainer. So why is it, what's the difference between the egg that I have a green light to do it and the mustard seed that I don't have a green light? And even though the mustard seed, we're talking about Yantiv, we're talking about Shabbos, but it's the same idea, they're both prohibited. So the Gemara says, Amar lei hatam lomechsi kiborer. He says, over there by the egg, it doesn't look like you're borer because both elements are edible. The white that's going to remain is edible. The yolk that's, in other words, there's no psolet, there's no ochel. They're both ochel. Everything's ochel. Hacham mechsi kiborer. Here with the mustard seed, it looks like it's borer. Now, it might not actually even be borer with the mustard seed because I think both elements are also edible. But let's take a look. One second. So 17. Yeah, it's also edible. He says it's only, it looks like something that's not edible. They say, in other words, I don't know, you have the husk. I'm not so familiar with all the mustard seed and what a mustard seed looks like and the husk of the mustard seed, but apparently the husk of the mustard seed also is edible, but it looks like borer. It looks more like borer, I guess, more similar to like the grain and things like that. That's why it's prohibited. He says, now, we can't sweeten the mustard seed with this coal. Again, they would put a hot coal with the mustard seed on a hot coal, but then the hot coal would go out. So when I do that, I'm causing the hot coal to, you know, mechabe. So I can't do that on yantiv. But we learn another brisa that I can do it on yantiv. So one brisa says I can't do it. One brisa says I could do it. So no contradiction. The one that says that I could do it is talking about coal in quotes of a hot metal, which I'm just putting hot metal in it, and then the hot metal will cool off. He says, whereas the one that says I can't do it is talking about a got colored of wood. So the wood, when it goes out, it creates charcoal. That's the malacha d'oraisa. The mechabe, I'm putting out the fire and I create charcoal. That's the wood that's prohibited. But with the metal, it goes out, but I'm not really doing a malacha of mechabe with that.
Wait,
my dear. Four lines, okay, and then I'll pause, okay? Just get your pad out, write through your notes, and I'll be there in four lines, okay? All right, now, okay. Amar le Abaye el Rav Yosef, Maishnami Bisra Agumrei. So he says, why is this different than putting meat on hot coals on Yantiv? Because we cook our meat, and we put it on hot coals, and then the coals will go out as well. So Amar le Hatam lo Efshar, Hacha Efshar. So he says, but in this on Yantiv, so he says, on Yantiv, there's no other way to prepare the meat. In other words, that's the way you prepare the meat. I assume he's saying that's also coming under Melechet Ochel Nefesh. That's the Lechora, what he's saying. That since that's the way the meat's prepared, and the meat can't be prepared the day before, it won't taste as good, so I'm allowed to do it. He says, Hacha Efshar. But over here, with the mustard seed, so one could prepare it before Yantiv, so you shouldn't do it on Yantiv. He says, Amar le Abaye le Rav Yosef, Mahu le Gabein. He says, am I allowed on Yantiv to make cheese, So to make cheese, here our Gemara seems to say that making cheese is like you're gathering the curds together. It's similar to lisha, which is like kneading the dough. But elsewhere, the Gemara learns it's bona. But here, he's learning lisha. So he says, Amar le Asur. He says, you're not allowed to be Megabein cheese on Yantiv. So my shnami lisha, why is that different than lisha? Kneading dough is allowed on Yantiv. So if I can knead the dough on Yantiv, why can't I make the cheese on Yantiv? Amar le hatam lo efshar. So he says, again, the same idea, that with the lisha, it's impossible. Meaning, if I would knead the dough before Yantiv, I wouldn't have like fresh bread. I don't know, somehow like the bread doesn't taste as tasty if the dough is kneaded the day before. So it's more tastier if I knead the dough that day. So it's like, so those things on Yantiv, the sowed by Yantiv is those malachot that are necessary so the food will taste its optimum, I'm allowed to do on Yantiv. Those things that I could just as easily do the day before, let's say borer. So there's no difference from borer yesterday, borer today. So I have to be borer the day before. I'm not allowed to. But baking something so food doesn't taste the same if it's baked yesterday as baked today. It's more freshly baked bread or cake. So that I have a heter, a green light to bake on Yantiv. So he says, that with lisha lo hatam lo efshar hacha efshar. Here with the cheese, I could cheesify it. I could do it on erev yantiv. So the Gemara says va'ami neherdoi, but the neherdian say givina bat yoma ma'alya. They say that a 1 day old cheese is wonderful. So if 1 day old cheese is wonderful, I should be able to make the cheese on yantiv. So he says no hachi kami. This is what they were saying da filu givina bat yoma ma'alya. That even a 1 day old cheese is nice. In other words, like the 7 day old cheese, the 3 week old cheese, that's wonderful. But even 1 day old cheese is good. But that being the case, so the cheese you should make before Yantiv and the breaking you do on Yantiv. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
What is a metal coal?
It means a piece of hot metal that was heated, like red hot. And now you put it in the.
But it's not like coal. Like
No.
It's not coal from wood.
Right, that's right. That's right. All right.
So it's just a hot piece of metal.
Right, that's correct. All right, I think Ruth had something to ask, but she got called or something. So, all right, maybe the next round we'll get her question in. All right, let's keep moving. All right, now we're around 15 lines, 20 lines down, the wide lines on Kuf Lamed Aleph 134A. Let me just mute everybody again. One second. Okay, so... So he says, "Hinosin lachaluk v'chulei." We said we're not allowed to make like this bandage for the aver for on Shabbos. So now we're going back to Shabbos with the bris. So I'm not allowed to make this bandage, this chaluk. I don't know. In the arts, where they said like a shirt-like thing. Like now we see this physically, they call it a chaluk, and it like fits around the aver like a shirt. But it's just like a cylinder, like a cloth cylinder that wraps around the aver. So he says here, "Amar Abaye, Amar Liyem." So Abaye says, my mom told me. Now, Chazal teaches that Abaye's mother died in childbirth. Here, let me get her now. Okay, Ruth, you left. Ruth, yeah, come back. You lost your chance, but come back. Oh, open up. Let me hear, Ruth. Unmute yourself. Unmute. What's your question?
Going back to the mixing, it's understood that with the metal, the hot metal, to keep the food above it hot. But when you talk about the mixing of the coal with the eggs, how does that formulate in your head?
I think you're mixing a couple of different things together.
I am.
Okay, the hot coal and the metal, that was with the mustard seed.
Right.
That was in mustard. So the mustard seed is improved when it has this heat that's there. So if I have a hot coal, so it's gonna douse out the coal, and then I'll be mechabe. I'll be chai for the malacha mechabe on yantiv. But with the hot metal, since it's not going to form a coal, I won't be chai for it.
But here it says that you can sweeten the mustard with a burning coal.
So one second. Let me go back. One second. No. It says. No, it doesn't say you can. It says, One Bryce says you can, and one Bryce says you can't. So we said the one that says you can't is talking about a wood coal, and the one that says you can is talking about like a metal, like a hot metal. In other words, so if I put a hot piece of like a coal from that was made from wood, in other words, I had burning wood, and now it's like a coal, and I put that in the mustard seed, then it's going to go out, and then I'll have a coal there. I'll have a coal. That's the malacha d'oraisa. So that I cannot do. But if I have a hot piece of metal and I put that in the mustard seed, it would also sweeten the mustard seed, but I won't be left with a coal afterwards.
Okay.
All right. Let's go back. Okay, mute yourself, Ruth. Okay. Now let's see back in the Gemara. So Enos in La Chaluk Chulei. So Amar Abaye, Amar Liyem. So Abaye said, my mom told me. So again, so Chazal teaches that Abaye's mother died in childbirth. So whenever Abaye says, my mom told me, he means his nursemaid, not his actual biological mother. Hai Chaluk Dianuka, lifting the Sitra Le'iloi. Dilma Midbik, and the Bach has guarded to Minei, Va'ati the Dekrut Shafcha, that when you have like this bandage that you're putting on the child who had the bris milah, so there are strands of hairs that come out from it. So you should flip that up, because otherwise the strands of hair will like stick to the aver, and then you'll rip off the bandage, and the kid will be like, you know, krut shafka, like have a mutilated aver. You know, so he says, so that's what the eitzah that the mother, that the nursemaid said. He says, ime da baye. Now it says here, it says Abaye's mother. This is not Abaye speaking, but Ime Dabaye, but it means, again, it doesn't mean his actual mother, it means his nursemaid. Ime Dabaye Avda Kista Lapalga. So she made like a lining for the bandage. And there's a question whether the word lapalga belongs in there, but she made a lining for the bandage so that those stringy parts, you know, wouldn't have contact with the aver. He says, Amar Abaye Hayanuka Dlaitle Chaluk. So Abaye says, if you have a child who doesn't have a chaluk, he doesn't have like this type of bandage that's prepared for him, he says, Leiti Blita de'idla sifta, you should bring like a rag that has a hem on it, a hem, in other words, like, you know, the hem is like folded up at the end of it. He says, V'lichruche l'sifta l'tatoi, you'll wrap the end with the hem on the part that's like closer to the end of the aver. He says, "Va'ayif leila iloy," and then you'll fold over the other end. He says, in other words, so the point is, you want to avoid all these like, you know, like threads or whatever, cords, you know, getting in contact with the aver, so that when it heals and then they pull off the bandage, like the aver isn't ripped apart. He says, "Va'amar Abaye, Amar Liyem." Abaye said, "My mom told me, Hayanuka lo yadia mefakte, if you have a child and they can't figure out where his, you know, his anus is, they can't find the hole for the anus." She says, "Li shayfei mishcha v'lokme lahad yoma." They should like smear oil over him, and then hold, you know, the part of the body up to the sunlight. He says, "Vehecha dezig," and then where it's very clear, that means that's where the hole should be. Likari b'sarata shetiv eiriv. They'll take like a barley seed. A barley seed apparently is very hard, and they'll rip shetiv eiriv, which means like with a cross. Aval b'klima tachot lo, but not to cut it with a metal utensil. Mishum dezar, if it'll cause it to become inflamed. Ba'amar Abaye, Amar Liyem. Abaye said, "My mom told me, Hayanukad lo mayitz mekar." And then here he has, where's the Bach? Mekar hu dekar pume. He's not suckling. He's not suckling. So the Gemara says it's because his mouth is cold. He says, "May tekante leitu kasukumre v'linksei leilahade pume." Like bring a cup of coals and hold it near his mouth. the chayim pume yumai. So he'll warm up his mouth, and then he'll come to suckle. Amar abayi amar liyem, hayanukud lo menashte. If you have a child, lo menashte. So the simple shot is that he's not breathing, but on the side he quotes that he can't, he's not urinating. I don't know. The article said, and I think Rashi says, which is menashte, what does Rashi say? I think breathing, right? Lo menashte, right. Rashi says the second white line, shenishimani keretbo, linfathe benafavato menashte, they should, fan him with different fans, and then he'll breathe or be able to urinate. Ba'amar abaye, amar liyem, abaye says, my mom told me, hayanukad loma ave, that he's not breathing easily, or he says, woman, excuse me, he says, or I don't know, on the side here in the Gemara, he says, Eina motzi hevel mechot mo, he doesn't express the air through his nostrils. Anyway, so, leiti silta de'ime, v'lisharki lave, they should take the afterbirth from the mother and smear it over him, uma ave, and then he'll be able to breathe. Va'amar abaye amar liyem hayanuka dekatin, if you have a child that's emaciated, leitu v'silta de'ime, they should bring the mother's afterbirth, v'lisharki lave, like smear it over him, mikutna l'uma, from the narrow end to the wide end. Apparently the afterbirth is narrow end at one end and wide at the other end, and you'll do it from the narrow end to the wide end. And it sounds like the way that goes, like from narrow to wide, that's also like he'll become, less emaciated. He's going like from narrow to wide. The alim, if he's bloated, then you want to do it from the wide end to the narrow end. Ba'amar ba'yam liyem, Ba'i said, my mom told me, Let me just pause for a second. Any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Yeah, what's up, Fern?
We know that this is the nursemaid, but she's gotten so many lines in the Gemara, I think more than any other woman. Who is this lady?
I don't know. I
have a name. She
don't know.
To be a Talmid Chachama.
This is your next project, Fern, to write an article about Ima Dabaya. You can.
I think I'm done.
In the Seinstalls, it's called his foster mother.
All right.
Same idea. That almost sounds like he was adopted.
Well, he was an orphan. He was an orphan.
Yeah.
Was she a midwife by trade? Was she a pediatrician or midwife?
I don't know her. Maybe
it wasn't her. Maybe it was Abaye himself who knew all this as a child. Because we say that those years, that those tzaddikim, even when they were born, they had certain things that we don't have today. Well, doesn't the Gemara talk about Rabbi Yeshua saying things when he was in a car, when he was a baby, and he doesn't know who it was. So maybe he's saying it was his nursemaid, but it really was by himself.
He's not saying it though.
He doesn't want to say it, but it was him himself, possibly.
All right. Let me go on. Anyway, if you look at Rashi, Rashi said, where was it earlier? Where was it? 1 second. Ime Dabaye, it's near the Gilyon HaShas, he says, Umanuto, that's his nurse, that's the way Rashi learns. So I think the simple pshat in the Gemara doesn't sound like the way you're saying Aaron Moshe, but I don't know, but you look around, you come back and you see what you find. Okay, let's take a look further in the Gemara. Okay, everybody needs to mute themselves again though. All right, 1 second. Let's take a look. All right, now, but Amar Abaye Amar Liyem, Abaye said, my mom told me, Hayanuka the Sumak. In other words, if your child is very red, in other words, he's born and is like, ruddy complexion, that Kati lo Ivla be demon. They tell you, like, his blood has not yet been absorbed in him. In other words, the blood is, like, I don't know, expressed out, so it hasn't been absorbed in it. He says, Litrahule ad the Ivla be demon of Lumhale. They should wait till the blood is absorbed and then do the bris mila in him. He says, Diyarok, if he's more yellow, this I think is a little bit more common. I think, the children are like jaundiced to whatever when they're born. He says, Vakati lo nafo beidema. So the Gemara takes it like there's like one case where it's got blood all over the place, lo ivla beidema, the blood has not yet been absorbed. And then the other case where the blood like looks yellow, doesn't look like any red. So it's lo nafo beidema, the blood has not yet, gone out adequately. So he says, wait till the blood does come out and then give a bris milah. So we have two things here. One is like it's too red, you want to wait till it gets less red, not enough red, when it gets a little bit redder. So the Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Amrib Natan, Pamachar Lachti the Krechayam. Rabbi Nan says, once I went to like the cities by the sea, he says, Uvati Isha Lefanai, Shemala Ben Arishon Umeid, Sheni Umeid, Shlishi Haviyat Lefanai. So a woman came to me, her first two children had died as a result of getting a bris mila. Now she's bringing to me child number three. He says, Ritiv Shuhu Adom, I saw that this child is like really red. He says, Amarti La Hamtini Lo Anshiv La Bodamo. I said, wait till the blood, you know, like he's less red. Don't jump the gun. Wait. And I read in like one of the sheets they had the Aladaf, not the Aladaf, the Daf Digest. They said that he assumed the first two children were the same way. So he says, "Him tina lo ach nivla bo damo." So she waited, umalo to v'chaya, and then she gave him the bris, and he lived. So everything was good. Bahiu koronoto natan abavli al shmi, and they would call this child Natan Abavli after me. My name is Natan Abavli, and they called the child Natan Abavli. So that was a case where the child was too red. Now the other case, Shupam Achar Halachlim Dina Kapotkia. And then once I went to Kapotkia, they usually say Cappadocia, which is a place in Asia Minor. Uvadi Isha Achat Lefanai, Shemala Ben Arishon Umeid, Sheni Umeid, Shishi Biyatu Lefanai. And again, another mother, the first two children died. She brings child number three to him. Retiv Shuhu Yarok. I saw that he's the opposite. He doesn't have enough red. He's yellow. He says, he tzatzti bo v'lo ra'iti bo dambrid. I looked at him and he didn't have dambrid. And so Rashi says two things. One, it's not healthy. And secondly, when you do the mila, you have to have hatafas dam, where some blood has to come out. He didn't think there would like, be blood there to do hatafas dam. Amarti lo hamtini lo achi po bo damo. I said, wait with this child. Don't give him a bris yet. Vimtinalo, and she waited, Umala Oto, and then she gave a bris Vikaya, Vikorin Shmo, Natan Abavli Al Shami. And they called him Natan Abavli, you know, based on my name. Okay, can you hold on 1 second? My phone is ringing. I apologize. 1 second.
Yeah, you could have had a lot of children named after you if you went around from one kid to the next.
Right, okay, I'm back. All right, one second. So we're on Kuf Lamed Dalet today. Okay, let me just say a few pieces from here. So he's got a piece.
Can I ask a question before the piece?
Okay, go ahead.
Isn't it the father's chiyuv to do mila? Why is the mother?
Yeah, well,
is this like Ladies' Day?
Well, for remember, okay, well, it could be the father wasn't around. You know, maybe the father's not around, or I don't know what was taking place.
More than one case.
I don't know what the situation was. I mean, you're right. The chiyuv is, the Mishnah learns, is on the father. If there's no father, I think the Gemara says that the chiyuv becomes on the bezdin to give him a bris mila. But the mother, I guess, concerned for
was taking care of the baby when he saw it.
The mother was concerned, I guess, for the health of the child and one another child dying on her, God forbid. All right, now he has a piece over here about who you name people for. He says, 1 second. Okay, so he says, if you look in the Torah, we see children are named for incidents that took place. Like it says concerning Moshe Rabbeinu, that he called one son Gershom, Ki Amar Ger Yiti Beretz Nochria. He called the son Gershom because I was a stranger in a strange land. In later generations, they began to call children based on the names of their forebears. This is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now he quotes a medrash from I'm sorry. This is from the from the Medrash Rabbah. It says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Harishonim al Yideshiyu Mishtamshim Beruach HaKodesh, Musin Hashem L'Shem HaMa'orah. He says, the earlier people, they had Ruach HaKodesh, so they were able to call the name based on the incident took place. We don't have Ruach HaKodesh, we use the name of our parents. Anyway, so in our sugya we see a source for naming a child after a gadol. They called the child, you know, Natan Abavli, but Natan Abavli was not the first person somebody was named for. And they mention in Avot Rabbi Natan that the ger that was converted by Hillel that we saw earlier in our Masechta, I think on Daf Lamed Gimel, he called his son Hillel. Remember, there was the person that came to Shammai, then he came to Hillel, and he converted to Judaism. I think there were three people. But anyway, at least one of them called his son Hillel. And he says hundreds of years before that, Chazal teach us that thousands of children were called Aharon, based on Aharon HaKohen, who was Oiv Shalom, Rodiv Shalom. And I guess that he was able to, create marital harmony, and people named their children after him. So Wait, just 2 minutes. Okay, I'll get you. Okay. So the Maila of calling a child based on the Gedol Yisrael, so it brings on the Sefer Zecher the David, that the Hashem Gorim Lahatzliya Chanoso, a name causes like success for the one who bears that name. Therefore, many people have the minhag to call their children after their Rebbe. So I think we're a little more familiar with people calling names after people who, in our families, but he mentioned, a minhag, like I know there's somebody in Yeshiva Minsk Chanan, he named his son after Rav Schechter, who's, his Rebbe there, but after the Rebbe. So he quotes from Elimelech of Lezhansk, who explains that when a person gets the name of a tzaddik, it somehow causes things in Shemayim, it causes this child to be like that tzaddik. Now, some want to say that it's more preferable to name the child for the Rav than even for the father or whatever, like the forebear. And the others say that, no, it's better to give the name from the Mishpacha. All right. Anyway, I think I'm going to call it with...
But either way, it's a minhag, right? It's not a rabbinic requirement.
Right. That's correct. All right. What do you want to say, Aaron Moshe?
Tom Seifer has an arichas on that. He says, we in the Ashkenaz world, we normally name our children after people who have passed away. So the Chassam Seifer says, if you do that, it's a toiva for the nifter or the nifteres. If you name a child, a boy, after the nifter, or a little girl, a baby girl after a nifteres, it's a toiva for the nifter or the nifteres. But he says, if you watch what Pasha is going, B'shast Mila, and if you name the child according to the Pasha, whether it's Aaron, whether it's Moshe, whether it's Avram, it's a Yaakov, and so on, it's a toiva for the skin. It's a toiva for the
yellow. All right.
That's what Sam Seifer says.
Okay. Now,
I have a question.
Yeah, what's up?
Is there a Sefer that explains some, for example, the question that Fern raised about the female? When we have to make assumptions and suppositions based on the best that we have, aren't this forum written that analyze all of the situations that come up that are not congruent with itself or with their country?
Which case are you talking about? Which case that Fern raised up? I don't understand.
For example, she asked about the existence of female and who it was.
About Abayi's nursemaid, right. My
question is, we have to assume that it was a nursemaid, not a mother. But this is an assumption that we make, given...
No. Abayi's mother died in childbirth, so it's not his mother.
I was just using that as an example. My question is, are there...
He's asking how we know.
So I think... The Gemara itself says, I think, that Abayi says his mother died in childbirth.
You're using only that as an example.
What's the question? I'm trying to understand.
When something comes up that's puzzling to us, and you'll say, you will say, I don't know, this is the best that we know right now. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that, but there svarim that have been created that take
I tell you, I say I don't know, but I'm not saying that's the best we know. I say I don't know just means I don't know, but there's a zillion svarim on everything, and if you go to the YU library, you'll find the zillion svarim there. It'll keep you busy for a lifetime, and you'll find every sefer on every narrow topic, and you look and you'll see this at the other.
Didn't the Abayi say in the Gemara, I didn't have that possibility to do kibud av aim?
It could be.
Is that in Gemara, I believe.
Yeah, all right. Now, All right, I'm going to leave. He's got a piece from the Noda Behuda here, but it's getting late. Let's move on. All right, now, so now we're on Kuf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. Okay, 134b, 134b. Everybody with me? Okay, the top line, the next Mishnah. Okay, so so the Mishnah says Manitin Marchitin. Now I should mention Mizman Chazal, they would give the child a hot bath before the Mila and after the Mila, and that was viewed as essential for the health of the child. The Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch brings down that today we don't do this, and the Mishnah Berurah says our teva has changed, our nature has changed, but there they've reviewed it as crucial to have this hot bath. Now, when we talk about giving a hot bath to a child, one issue is, and Daf Yomi people remember this, on Daf Lamed Ten and Daf Mem, we started about Gzeirat Balanim. There was a rabbinic ordinance that you're not supposed to bathe in hot water on Shabbat. And then the second issue is about who's heating up the water. So it could be that the Gemara is talking about having non-Jews, but it might even be that Jews, like I saw the article mentioned that according to Reb Lezer, he would view it as like machshire mila, the hot water being machshire the mila, and he would hold that a Jew could even heat up the water on Shabbat, you know, for the bris. So let's take a look in the Mishnah. So manitin marchisin katan bein lefnei amila bein laachar amila. We bathe the child both before, and he's talking about on Shabbat. He's talking about on Shabbat. He says both before the mila and after the mila. And then, so the first line of Mishnah sounds like I give him rechitza in the regular fashion. The next line seems to be a stira. The next line says that I'll drip water on him biyad abalobakli, with my hand, but not with a clay. So we'll have to clarify that in the Gemara what it means. Reb Lazar ben Azaria Omer, Marchisa Nakatan Bayom HaShlishi Shechaliot B'Shabbat. Reb Lazar ben Azaria says we could do rechitza. It's going to come out. Reb Lazar ben Azaria holds that I could bathe the child in a regular fashion on day 1, 2, and 3. That's Reb Lazar ben Azaria. And he says even the third day, because it says, Shechal Yom Shabbat, even if it's on a Shabbos, Shenemar Vayihibayom Shibi Otam Koavim. So it mentions with Shechem, with Shimon Levi, you know, who went out to avenge Dina's, rape, whatever. So so he attacked Shechem. They said everybody should get a bris mila. They all got a bris. And on the third day, when they were in pain, then they attacked. So we see that it's like, you know, it's very serious, the pain on the third day. So then he says, safek, if the child is safek, I mean, we don't know if he was after 8 months or 9 months. The Gemara takes it if the child was after an 8 month child, it won't survive. Von Droginus is an androgyne. He's got both elements from male and female. A mechalin of a Shabbat. We wouldn't be mechal Shabbat. I mean, we wouldn't do a bris on either one of those children. Either one of those children, Rabbi Yehuda Matir ben Droginus. Rabbi Yehuda is Matir with an Androginus. Okay, and then when we talk about the 8 months, so they say today is a little bit different, and today even with the 8 month child, I think they would give a bris, okay, on Shabbos. Now, let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Va'amrid Reisha Marchitzin. So the first line of the Mishnah says, I can give Rechitza, I can bathe the child in a normal fashion. And the next line says, I have to be Mizale if I'll drip the water on him, I'm making a Shinui. So Rabbi Yehuda Rabba Baravu Adami Tarvayu Ketzatani. So he says what the Mishnah means is he's giving you directions. We're going to do rechitza. How are we going to do rechitza? Not the regular fashion. We're going to be mizalef. We're going to drip the water on him. He says Ketzatani Marchitza Nekatan Bein Lefnei Mila Bein LaAchar Mila Ketzat Mizafel LaBiyad Avol B'Kli. That's the way we're going to do it. So according to the way we're saying right now. So according to the Tanakhama, I'm never allowed to bathe the child in the regular fashion on Shabbat, but I could be mezalef, presumably on day 1 and day 2, because it's using hot water, and the hot water may have been heated up by a non-Jew on Shabbat, but there's a gzeira habalanim, but I'm going to drip the water on him because of his situation, his medical situation, and according to Reb Lazar ben Azaria, I'm going to give him the rechitz in the regular fashion. That's what we think the machloket is. So Amarava bar rechitzin katani. Rabbi said, but The Mishnah says marchitzim, which means you have a green light to give him the regular bathing. El Amar Rabba, rather Rabba says hachi katani. Rabba understands the Mishnah differently. Marchitzin katan bein lefnei mila bein laachar hamila biyom rishon kedarko. In other words, it comes out that Rabba holds that it's going to be day 1 and day 2. So according to the Tanakhama, I could do the regular rechitza on day 1 or day 2. And again, we're talking about on Shabbos. That's the whole thing. During the week, it's no issue. So So if Shabbos is day one or Shabbos is day two, according to the Tanakhama, then I'm going to bathe the child in the regular fashion. He says, Uvayoma shishish chalipa Shabbat, but if day three is the day that comes out on Shabbos, then mizafan lo b'yad lo b'kli. So then I can only drip the water with a hand, not with a kli. That's according to Rabbi Zahesber. Reb Lazman Azar Yomir, marchisna katan b'yoma shishish chalipa Shabbat, shenem rabbi hibom shibutam koavim. Reb Lazman Azar Yomir holds that I could be marchis him all 3 days. So again, everybody, well, let's just see it then. Let me just repeat again. All right. So the issue we're talking about in our Mishnah is bathing a child with hot water. Now, bathing a child with hot water it runs afoul of the Gezeirah Rabbanim. So there was a Gezeirah that you're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbat, even if the water was heated up before Shabbos. You're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbat. That's the first yisod. This child is in a different situation. He's in somewhat of a sakana situation. So we're going to permit a certain amount of bathing. But according to, there's two ways to understand the Mishnah. The first way to understand the Mishnah is the Tanakhama holds day one and day two, I have to be mezalef. I have to make a shinui. I'll bathe him in hot water, but I'll just drip the water on him. I won't like stick him in the water. I'll drip the water on him. Day three, zero, according to the Tanakhama. According to Reb Lazar ben Azariah, all 3 days I can bathe him kedarko. All 3 days I can bathe him in the regular fashion. According to Rabbah's Hesber of the Mishnah, the Tanakhama holds day one and day two I could bathe him in the regular fashion. Day three I have to be mezalef. And according to Rabbah's Ben Azariah, all 3 days I can bathe him in the regular fashion. Okay, I'll pause in just a few lines and we'll go, okay? So now on the first very wide line in the Gemara. So Tani Kivati de Rabbah, we learn a brisa that supports Rabbah's Hesber of the Mishnah. The Bryce says, Marchitzin a katan bein lefnei mila bein la'achar mila b'yom rishon kedarko. The Bryce says that I can bathe the child regularly on the first day, but it comes out like from Rashi that it sounds like day one and day two. He says, Uvayom ha'shishi shechalu b'shabbat, but on day three, if day three comes out on Shabbos, mizalfan oto b'yad, then I'll drip the water on him with my hand. Reb Lazar ben Azariah omer, Marchisin a katan bayom ha'shishi shechalu b'shabbat. Lazar ben Azariah says, I could bathe the child regularly on the third day before it's on Shabbos, and day one and day two certainly. He says, even though I don't have a conclusive proof to my position, Reb Lazar ben Azariah. Reb Lazar ben Azariah is trying to prove that it's a significant sakana even on day three. So he says, but I have a remez to it. We'll see in a minute. It says on the third day, the non-Jews in Shechem, who, you know, at the Eitzah of, you know, if you remember that, maybe I went through it too quickly, that Dina falls in love with this fellow Shechem, which is the son of the mayor of the city. And the mayor's city, the name of the city is Hamor. So Dina's in love with, and the son's name is Shechem. In other words, the name of the town is Shechem, and the boy's name is Shechem. It's like you know, you're in Brooklyn, and the fellow's name is Brooklyn, or something like that. Anyway, so they make a proposal to Yaakov and his family. So the Eitzah that they get is that you should get a bris. You get a bris, and then we're in with you. So they all follow the Eitzah. They get the bris. And on the third day, when they're like really in dire straits, so Shimon and Levi come in, and then they attack. It says, "Vayibiotam koavim." So the point is that you see that people are in dire straits on the third day. Now, continuing on with the Braisa on the fifth wide line, Uchshein mizalfin, when you're mizalef, now this is going back to the Tanakhama, when you're dripping the water, a mizalfin lo b'kosh lo b'ka'ara, you don't take a cup or a plate or a bowl, lobakli, elabiyad, use your hand. So now that's the end of the brisa. Then the Gemara is a tan and the Tanakhama. So that last line relates back to the Tanakhama, because the Tanakhama told you about being mizalef. Well, the Zar Mazari said, I'm going to bathe. So again, in the brisa, which is reflecting Rabbah's Hesber, so the Tanakhama holds, you can bathe the child regularly on day one and day two. Day three, you're going to be mezalef. You'll drip the water on him. And according to Rabbah's Mazari, I'll bathe the child regularly for all the first 3 days. So now the Gemara says, "My afa pishin ray ledavar zeicha ledavar." So why is it that there's no proof? That seems like a conclusive proof. You prove to me that people are in dire straits on the third day of the Mila. Why is that a zeichel d'aver, just an allusion to it? It sounds like a pretty conclusive proof. So the Gemara says, Mishum degadalo salik bisrei hayah, because an adult, his flesh doesn't grow back so quickly. He says, katan salik be bisrei hayah. I could say a child's flesh grows back more quickly. I'm not a doctor. I don't have, one of the doctors here could help us out with this. But because of that, there's room to be mechalik between the incident with Shechem and an eight-day-old child. Now, the Gemara says, Ahuda atel kamid de Rava. There was somebody who came before Rava, Ori le kishmaite. He made a ruling. Now, according to Rava, Rava apparently is going within the Tanakama. So according to the Tanakama, the way Rava understood it, he said that you can be markets, you can bathe the child in a regular fashion. So Rava made a ruling that way. He says, Ichlish Rava. Then Rava became ill. And he attributed his illness to this ruling. In other words, he told the guy, Gekazuntahed, and bathe it. And then Rava himself became ill. Amar, Anabahadi Tarkimna Desabi Lamali. Why did I get involved with contending these gedolim? It means on line one of the Gemara, we said Rabbi Yehuda and Rabba Bar Avua. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabba Bar Avua, they explain the Mishnah that the Tanakhama doesn't say you could bathe regularly. You could always only be mezalef on day one and two. And Rabbi said, no, you could do rechitz on day one and two. He said, so Amrli Rabban and the Rabba, so the Chachamim said to Rabba, he says, Vahatani Kavate Damar, but you learn the Braisa seems to support you. Again, they're Amorayim, and the Braisa is more authoritative. That's from the Tanaim. So the Braisa seems to be on all fours with you. He says, Amar Lahu, Manitin Kvatayu Deika. He says, you're right, but a careful reading of our Mishnah seems more like the other position, not like my position. He says, Mimai. From where do I see that? Midakama, Reb Lazar ben Azariah, Mir Marachitzin, a Katan, Bayom HaShlishi, Shechalio B'Shabbat. Because the Mishnah says, Reb Lazar ben Azariah says, Marachitzin, a Katan, we bathe the child on the third day. Yerba B'Shleima, Tanakam, Mizalfin, Ka'amar, Hedet Kamalei, Reb Lazar ben Azariah, Marachitzin. So if the Tanakam says, you can only be Mizalef, drip, and then Reb Lazar ben Azariah says, no, you'll be Marachitz, you can wash. That makes sense. Eli Amri Tanakama Rachitin Bayom Rishon Kamar Umizalfin Bayom Shlishi. But if the Tanakama holds the way I was suggesting, that you could do regular Rachitz on day one and two, but only be Mizalef on the third day, so he says, Hi Reb Lazar ben Azariah Omer Marachitin Af Marachitin Mibaylei. He shouldn't say Marachitin, he should say Af Marachitin. You could even be Marachitz. In other words, Tanakama holds you can be Marachitz day one and two. I hold Af Marachitin Bayom Shlishi. You can be Marachitz on the third day. Since he doesn't say that, it sounds more like the other opinion. That's what the Gemara says. Let me pause for a second.
I have a question about this third day thing. They used the example of the of Shechem, but why didn't they use the example of Avraham with the angels on the third day? Remember when they approached him after he had a bris, it was on the third day he was most disabled. Yeah. Wouldn't that have been a more meaningful analogy?
It's a good question. This is my answer. First of all, I'll get to you in a minute, Avram Moshe, I see you. First, it's not Mefurish in the Psukim about the third day by Avram Avinu. In other words, that's just Chazal teach us it was the third day to his Mila. In the Psukim, the Chomesh just says, Vayera Lav Shem Be'elonim Amrei, God appeared to Avram. That's the only thing the Pasuk says.
Oh, so it doesn't specify the third day.
So nothing specified there. But even assuming that, you see, here in the Pasuk, it says on the third day, and they had the bris milah, and it says, biotam koavim, that they were in tremendous pain. So the Pasuk is so mafurash, on the third day, they're in tremendous pain. There, nothing is spelled out, like Avraham Avinu.
It's more inferential.
Right, it's much more explicit here. Okay, what do you have for me, Aaron Moshe? Let's hear.
I just wanted to say something nice from the Rebbe Yoinison, and I remember if it was Yavis Tvash, but the Ferris Shoinison, in one of those forum, he says, why did they make a bris after 3 days? Why didn't they go to Shechem and say, you want to be Jewish? You got to fast for 72 hours. Anybody that doesn't eat or drink for 72 hours is going to be very weak. You go in the after and you kill them. Why did you need the whole bris business? So he answers over there. He says, the reason why he didn't ask them to fast, had they fasted and they killed them all out, all the other Umoysa Oilam would have attacked them and there would have been a major war. He says, now that there was a bris, they're Jewish. Jewish blood, who cares? Jewish blood is cheap. He says, now they had a bris, they're all Jewish. Killed them out, who cares?
All right. Now let me go back to the Gemara. Let's take a look. Okay. Now, so around the 20th wide law.
So where are we with this now?
Okay, we're not done yet. Okay, just wait. Oh. So the Gemara says now, Ki'at Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rav Lazar, Halakha Rav Lazar ben Azariah. So he said that Rav Lazar says, presumably it's the Amora Rav Lazar. There's one Tana Rav Lazar, there's an Amora Rav Lazar. So the Tana is Rav Lazar ben Shemua, the Amora is Rav Lazar ben Padat. So he says, Amar Rav Lazar, Rav Lazar ben Padat says, Halakha Rav Lazar ben Azariah. The Halakha follows Rav Lazar ben Azariah, who says you can bathe the child regularly for the first 3 days. So Habu Baba Ma Rava, so they were discussing this in the West, in Eretz Yisrael. He says, Harachasat Kukufo or Harachasat Mila. When Rav Lazar ben Azariah said you could wash the child for 3 days, does he mean bathe the entire child's body or just the part where the Mila is? What did he mean? So Amar Lahumi Rabbanan, Rabbi Yaakov Shemei. So one of the Chachamim said to them, and his name was Rabbi Yaakov, Mistabra Harachasat Kukufo. Logically, it must be bathing the whole body, and we'll see. The Isakadai, the Harachasat Mila, if you think it's just washing the part where the wound is, Migara Michamin al Gabi Maka. Why would I even have a question about this? Why, in other words, why would there even be a machloket about it? Because the Gemara takes it like if a person has a wound on Shabbos, then he has a heter to bathe that wound in hot water. He says, and again, it wouldn't be that he would heat up the hot water, but somebody else either was heated up on Friday or we'll see how this goes. He says, Migara Michamin al Gabi Maka, the Amarav, a moanin chamin. Rav says one doesn't, desist from applying hot water and oil to wound on Shabbos. So the fact that there's a whole machloket about this, we take as the davar muskam. So the fact that there's a whole machloket, Mistama is talking about bathing the whole body. It says, Maktiv l'Rav Yosef, but wait a second, aren't the cases differently? Over there, Rav is talking about with water that was heated up on Friday. Here, we're talking about water that's heated up even on Shabbos. So water that's heated up on Shabbos is much more chamor, even the Gzeret HaBalanim, right? That's Bedafka they were concerned about, non-Jews or people heating up water on Shabbos for Jews. So Makifla Rav Dimi, we might dahacha bu chamin shu chambu Shabbat pligi. So Rav Dimi says, how are you so certain that we're talking about water heated up on Shabbos? Dilma v'chamin shu chambu be'er Shabbat pligi. Maybe it's water that's heated up on Friday. Amar Abaye, Anaboy di Shanile, I wanted to answer this question. The Kanam Shanile Rabbi Yosef. And Rabbi Yosef preceded me, answered it. Nish Sakana Hulo. So because in our Mishnah, we're talking about where it's a Sakana for the person. So the Gemara takes it, a Sakana for the child. So the Sakana, it's reasonable for us to assume that we're heating up the water even on Shabbos for him. And again, there's a whole discussion in the poskim who would heat up the water. So like a lot of poskim say non-Jews would heat up the water, but some want to say that the water, and again, according to the Tana Reb Lezer, so even the water before the Mila would be Machshir and Mila could heat up on Shabbos, but not according to Reb Lezer. So some want to say that the water that's applied after the Mila, so that would be like Sakana Snafasha, where even a Jew could, a Jew could heat it up. But it could be that it's still non-Jews heating up the water. Oh, let me just do a few lines. Now, Itmar Nami, it was also stated, Kiata Rabin Amr Bao Amr Lazar, Amr Lam Rav Amr Yochran, Halakhik Rav Lazar ben Azariah, B'chamin Shu Chamu B'Shabbat. He says that, I didn't say right, Halakhik Rav Lazar ben Azariah, Halakhik Rav Lazar ben Azariah, who says I can bathe the child for 3 days, Bein B'chamin Shu Chamu Shabbat, whether the water was heated up on Shabbos, Bein B'chamin Shu Chamu Me'erev Shabbat, whether the water was heated up on Friday. In other words, I have a green light to use hot water for the child, on Shabbos, bein harachasat kugufo, bein harachasat milam, neishas hakanihilo, whether it's washed, bathing his whole body or one aver for him. Now, again, let me get the Shulchan Aruch out. I just want to read the lines for you in the Shulchan Aruch, and I'll be back. Give me 10 seconds. All right, here's what the Mechaber says. This is in Or HaChaim, Siman Shin Lamed Aleph, Sif Tet. He says, "Bizman Chachmei Gemara, Imnoi Roch Tzin Rav Lal, Vnei Amilu, Achar Amilu, Vayom HaShlish Lamilu, B'mayim Chamin, Hayam Esukan." In the time of Chazal, if they wouldn't bathe the child before the bris and after the bris, and on the third day of the Mila, in hot water, then the child was in would be in like very dangerous straits. L'fichach Nizkhu L'chtov Mishpato Shechal Yo B'Shabbat. Therefore, they had to write the halacha when that day falls on Shabbos. Va'idna lo nahagu berachitza klal. Today, and he's writing in the 16th century, the minhag is not to bathe the child at all. V'dino lerchos v'shabbat imratzu k'dimrachitza kol adam. And the dinim concerning bathing the child is like the dinim of bathing anybody else, he says. Then he says, and the Mishnah Berurah says, lo nahagu dinishtanu hatvayim. The Mishnah Berurah says that our nature has changed. Anyway, so the point is, All right. Let me just pause for a second. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, let me move on. All right. So now, we're at the bottom of Kuf Lamed Dalet Amud Bey. It's 10 lines from the bottom. Okay. So Gufa, earlier we learned, Amar Rav, Imon Chamin V'Shem Milgab. So now we're moving away from Bris Mila and just treating somebody with a wound on Shabbos. So Rav says, Imon Chamin V'Shem Milgab Imach V'Shabbat, U'Shmul Amar, Notain chutz lamaka. Shmuel says, even that, I have to make a shinui. I'll apply the water away from the wound. He says, v'shotet v'yored lamaka. It'll drip down and go to the maka. So the person's got a wound, and he wants to apply hot water and oil. And so, you know, one issue would be about, you know, using the chamin on Shabbos. And another potential issue could be about Rufu on Shabbos, but if we're talking about a cholish ainbo sakana, it's not sakana stafashot, but it's a cholish ainbo sakana. Cholish ainbo sakana means he's he's so sick, he's like in bed, or, you know, that would be cholish ainbo sakana. I assume that's what he's talking about. So we have a heter to do Rufu for him on Shabbos. So according to Rav, I'm going to do it like directly, and according to Shmuel, I'm going to do it indirectly. So the Gemara says, Meifei, we ask a question against Rav from the following Braisa. We don't apply the oil and hot water on a moch, it's like a wad to put on the wound on Shabbos. So Rav says I could, and here it says I can't. So Gemara says hatam mishum schita. Over there, it's a problem of schita. They've got more problem when I apply it to like fabric. There's a question. I'll end up squeezing it out, and then that's bad news. Tashma. I don't apply the hot water and the oil on top of the wad, the bandage, or the wad that's on a wound on Shabbos. Also schita problem. Okay, now, the Gemara says, Tani Kvati Shmuel, we learn a brisa that supports Shmuel's opinion that I'll do it indirectly. The brisa says, I don't apply hot water and oil directly on a wound on Shabbos. I can apply it away from the wound. And then it'll drip down and go onto the wound. Now, this is another braisa. He says that on Shabbos, I could apply a dry wad to wound, or a dry sponge. So it means those things won't be refuah. Those will just protect the wound. So to protect the wound, I'm allowed to protect the wound on Shabbos. No problem with that. But I can't use a gemi yavesh, a dry reed. He says, below ketit nivation, or dry rags. The dry rags, these would be curative. That's the way the Gemara takes it. It'll be curative. So it's talking about here a case with a chola, and this type of chola, I assume, it's like a lower type of chola. I assume it's like mechush ba'alma. So I just want to protect the wound, but I can't do refuah for him on Shabbat. So kasha ketitin ha-ketitin is a stira, because in the beginning of the braisa, we said I can apply the moch yavesh, the dry wad, which is like the ketitin, is the rag. So I could put like the rag on it, and on the second part says I can't put the rag. So like kasha, there's no contradiction. Habacharati, if it's a new, fresh rag, so then that's curative. That I can't do. Haba atike. The first part is an older rag. That's not curative, and that I could do. That I am allowed to do. Amar Abaye shmamina hani ketitin masu. Abaye says one could deduce from this that ketitin, which are these rags, they do bring refuah to the person. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? Okay. Let's end the recording. Okay. Record.